Alaska's first felony jury trial of the pandemic ended Wednesday when a Kenai jury found Carmen Perzichino guilty of kidnapping and rape 19 years after he attacked a woman in his van along the Sterling Highway in 2001. The trial took place with social distancing in the courtroom and was made public through the video conferencing service Zoom. Anchorage Daily News reporter Kyle Hopkins, working with ProPublica, wrote about the state's first Zoom trial, and he joins me now, of course, via Zoom. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, Casey.
First, in a warning to listeners, I'm going to ask you about the facts of a rape case. What did the woman and the prosecutor say happened back in 2001?
She's from Western Alaska, from the Bethel area, but had been living in Anchorage, went down to visit a friend in the Kenai, like Sterling area, and had gone to a few bars, her and two friends. And she kind of split off from her group and met this guy at a bar, and they were talking. She was hoping to get a ride all the way back to Anchorage. He offered her a ride. She gets in his van. They drive for a while, and then he pulls over into like a pullout alongside the Sterling Highway. She actually tried to run away from him twice and says that he kind of like dragged her back to the van and then threatened to hurt her and raped her in the van, and that he then began to drive her back to the Sterling area. And so as they were driving, it's the middle of the night, and she sees like a DOT worker working on a sign. She said that he had threatened to kill her, so she was afraid for her life and thought that her best chance was just to escape right then and there. So as the car was going about 35 miles per hour, she said she opened the door and just kind of rolled out of the van. And this DOT employee actually saw her rolling in the highway and went and picked her up and took her to troopers.
So then what happened with Perzichino? How did the investigators find him, and why did it take so long for the charges and then finally the trial in this case?
Perzichino was never identified as a suspect back then. So 2001, 2002, the case is closed in 2002. Perzichino was like running dogs down on the peninsula around that time. And he actually enters the Iditarod in 2004, doesn't finish. He kind of never runs it again. And then in 2012, he's in Anchorage and he gets picked up by Anchorage police for trying to solicit a prostitute, like a prostitution sting. He pleads no contest. And as part of that process, police at the time were collecting DNA evidence from these potential Johns, right? Fast forward years later, there's a big discussion about all these untested rape kits. This rape kit was one of the ones that had never been tested. Her kit is tested and it connects. There's a match between Perzichino's 2012 DNA sample and that old 2001 sample that was collected back in Sterling.
What did Perzichino's defense attorney say?
The defense brought in, you know, several witnesses. There was a lot of time was spent with a forensic nurse who came in and sought to discredit the findings of that initial sexual assault exam, and especially the finding that this was a forceful kind of violent sexual encounter as opposed to a consensual encounter. And, you know, the response from the prosecutor, Jenna Grunstein, was, you know, this was not a he said, she said issue. This is someone who ran away from Carmen Perzichino twice and then was so afraid for her safety that she jumped out of his moving car, and a witness saw it. That part of it's not really in dispute.
You know, with these verdicts, there's still a sentencing, but it gets closer to some kind of resolution in this case. And it's kind of an example of the type of resolution and the type of closure that people are seeking through the criminal justice system. But felony trials have been on hold for months. This is the first one in months. And there had to be a lot of changes for it to even happen. So I wonder, can you describe how the trial itself looked different from other trials you've covered?
Yeah, it was like nothing you've ever seen before. You know what to expect. You walk into this tan courtroom where there's like some benches in the back where the gallery where the public sits, and you sit down, and in front of you are two tables with the prosecutor and the defense, and then the judges in the back. And in this case, in order to accommodate social distancing, the public wasn't allowed in. All that area where the public normally sits, that was occupied by jurors. And the judge literally came in on a weekend with like a tape measure and just kind of mapped out 6 feet from each chair in order to kind of space out each of the jurors. And then Perzichino and his attorney actually had to sign waivers so they could sit right next to each other. And then on the other side of the room, you've got the prosecutor. And in the middle is the witness stand, but it's surrounded by plexiglass, you know, so like you're kind of caged in, you know, in this clear plexiglass when you're testifying. Everyone's wearing a mask. The judge is wearing a mask. The attorneys are wearing these face shields, these like clear face shields. And then all of that is then being broadcast on Zoom. And then for some parts of the trial was being broadcast live on YouTube.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds very different. That was Anchorage Daily News reporter Kyle Hopkins. His full story is at ADN.com. Kyle, thanks for being here to talk to us.
Yeah, my pleasure.